First Chronicles chapter 15. First Chronicles chapter 15. And most of you are acquainted with the bringing of the ark to Jerusalem. I want to speak about things being done in the wrong way. Right things now. Not wrong things. Right things. Not done in the way that God intended. At verse 12. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. I want to speak on order. The due order. The right order, it could be translated there. It's a legal word, but it could be the right order. There's a verse in the Psalms I want to link with it before I go to the New Testament. In Psalm 37, at verse 27, in Psalm 37, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment. Now that's exactly the same word as David used. The Lord loveth order. The Lord loveth order and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Now over to 1 Corinthians, just for a verse. In chapter 14, first of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All the way down this chapter, we can read of an expression, let. That word has got to do with liberty, but it's restricted liberty. It's not just a matter of people doing the right thing. The liberty is restricted. Now, I haven't time to read it all, but you can read in verse 26, the last clause of the verse, let all things be done unto edifying. That is, the ministry of this meeting and every meeting should leave us with a stronger confidence in God. I should be feeling the joy of being in assembly fellowship. I should come to a meeting where the Word of God is opened and leave it feeling I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm gathered to the Lord's name, and I do my best to do things that will further the work of God. Let all things be done unto edifying. That is, that the whole order of the gift that we've looked at has got to do with the strengthening of the things that remain and the strengthening of my confidence in God. We have no idea, we have little idea, how many are under attack from the devil. Sickness, troubles, difficulties, and people are wondering, have I lost contact with God? What has happened to me? Well, I would like to take up the Word of God this evening, and for the next 5 minutes, that we'd be rejoicing. Reach out and take hold of God. One of the saddest chapters in our Bible is the book of Job in chapter 23. I haven't time to read it, but you can read it and you remember and link it with Psalm 23. But in the book of Job in chapter 23, Job is reaching out. He said, I go forward, and he's not there. On the right hand, where he often worked, I reached for him. I can't find him. On the left hand, and he's not there. You see, I would like to say something for your help and mine. If I can only find God in the trial will be a blessing. But Job is telling us that he cannot find God. And the tragedy is, until he does, but even if he doesn't, he really takes up this subject, I don't really know all that is happening, and I don't know why. But in that last verse of that chapter, he says, well, if I cannot find God, God knows where I am. And God knows I've done nothing wrong. And if things are all disintegrating, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If I could impress you with it to this evening, to go home, and we cannot, we'll all be going home in 5 minutes, to be able to think that Israel in the wilderness were guided, and very often they didn't know where they were. But there was this confidence that God knew where they were. You might be feeling the same, saying, well, I don't know really about this confusion. Things are difficult. Things are trying. In the assembly where we are, things are not doing well. But let me tell you, God knows. And the great blessing of any meeting is a confidence in our God, a delight in his word, and if I put it another way, a delight in doing things according to God's order. You know, we live in a world of disorder. Every government thinks that they have the answer. And we possibly have got that feeling among us that everybody has an idea that they could put the assembly right. Brethren, there's only one way to put the assembly right. And that's what David said. That's what said about bringing up the ark. He said, we sought him not after due order. Things went wrong. And things will always go wrong. I might have a clever idea about myself that I can improve. That only cannot improve on God's order. I want to take up two subjects just that I have read to you at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let all things be done decently and in order. And then in chapter 15, at verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Now those are two different orders. Absolutely, totally different. The same word. But I want to speak on the priestly order of the assembly. The priestly order. Oh, the joy of it all. An assembly moving in that priestly majesty, and God being honored. I hope, brethren, that we appreciate it. Let all things be done decently and in priestly order. I don't break ranks. I've no right to impose my own idea. There was a time, well, it's over 60 years ago when I got into the assembly. There wasn't a sister in the assembly with her hair cut. Not one. Now you can look in the mirror and you can say to yourself, am I moving in the order that God intended? You say, sure, it's a very little thing, it's not important. Everything's important as far as God is concerned. You know, Michelangelo, the great painter, lay on his back and painted the ceiling of some basilica until he wasn't able to look straight in his head. And he said to all the students that were continually following him, pay attention to small details, for small details will lead to perfection. But perfection's not a small detail. You pay attention to your Bible. And I do the same. And we try and obey it. Whatever way you dress, whatever way I dress, you know, I'm speaking to the younger brethren here, I can see that I'm not often in business houses. But I was in an office the other day, and there wasn't a man in the office had a tie on. This idea that you don't have to be all tit-a-fated. You can come to the meeting in your old clothes and without a tie. Now, brother, we don't want that. We want the sisters to be modest. We want the brethren to be moving in the dignity of a priesthood. Not to be careless. Now, I'm going to leave the subject. The other word for order is an entirely different order. In chapter 15, in verse 23, every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Well, what order is that? That's the great order of the resurrection. And you know, brethren, you can take time and see if I'm right. The word is a military order. You know what is the great thing about it? It's already begun. The first resurrection already has taken place. And the conqueror of Golgotha, has gone out in the front line and won the day. And we're just following on behind. The Lord will help us. You know, it's a great thing. In the day of difficulties and in the day of diminishing numbers, let us keep the priestly order of the assembly in all its dignity. Let me move as the priest did, and remember that the bringing up of the ark was done. It was the right thing, you know. You know, David, Psalm 132, and I haven't time to develop it, but in Psalm 132, David said, I'll not give peace to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the ark. And he found a place. And the place was there. And oh, the delight of it all, coming up to Jerusalem. David, you know, got advice from all these military officers. You can read it. He consulted with them. And they had decided how they would bring up the ark. A great military procession. But God blew on it. And it was a disaster. But this is a military procession. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. What kind of a military procession? A majestic procession moving from out of the power of death. You know, death is a vicious enemy. Takes hold and never let go. But our power is broken. And thank God for the mighty victor. Majestic resurrection. Ascension going up through those myriads who hosts. Up and up and up till he could go no higher. Father of all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And as I'm going to sit down, far above all, God hath exalted him, far above all, thrones and dominions before him shall fall. For God hath exalted him far above all. the military procession, or the commander-in-chief, he's moved out of the realm of death. He's moved in the majestic splendor. He's moved up to the highest place in heaven. He deserves it. And thank God that there is a priestly order. Thank God there is a military order. Let us remember, all of us, as we move into the assembly, let the world come carelessly, if it wants to, into the office. Let that order that there was, that we can see it. I often meet my brethren and sisters that are not coming to our assemblies, if you put it that way, although we don't call them that. But I notice they're going in sports jackets and all kinds of casual wear into an assembly, well, so-called, not far from where we are, and we meet them. Now, brethren, we'll not do. We don't want to be as careless as that. It's not going out to play golf, and it's not putting on your old clothes. We're coming in the dignity that God has given us, and we're coming to try and serve in the dignity of priesthood. And may the Lord help us and bless his word.